Hello, friends, and welcome back to the second hour of Out of This World Radio with your host, Ted Marr, broadcasting live from the studios of KKNW on 1150 AM here in beautiful Bellevue, Washington, just outside Seattle here in the United States. The purpose of this program is to raise consciousness and make this world a much better and happier place. And I know that with everyone's help, we can and will make this earth a better place. I want to apologize for our first hour. There was a fire alarm in our building here, the radio building, where someone had pulled a switch and caused the alarm to go off. We lost about 20 minutes during the first hour, but we'll make it up now. Thank you so much for listening today. I'd like to thank everyone's support for this radio program, because Out of This World Radio is a nonprofit program supported entirely by donations. And if you'd like to donate, please go to the donate button at the top upper right-hand corner of the program webpage at www.outofthisworld1150.com. I also have a new television program called Out of This World TV, which broadcasts three times a week on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Saturdays on Channel 22 in the Seattle area. It's available under Out of This World or my name, Ted Marr. And there are now about 50 episodes on YouTube, so I hope you enjoy that. As you know, I went to Peru in October, and I had such a good time. I'm going back January 23rd to February 7th. And if you'd like to come along with me, the cost is only $350 per person in addition to the airfare and accommodations. We'll be visiting Machu Picchu, Cusco, Lima, Lake Titicaca, and lots of incredible places, and I hope you can come along. I also know where the entrances, I've been told where the entrances are to the Hollow Earth at Machu Picchu and Lake Titicaca, and there is a chance that we can go into the Hollow Earth from those places as well. Prices in Peru are reasonable, and the airline's actually been having a seat sale down to Peru, so the trip itself will not cost very much. If you're interested, please send me an email to outofthisworld1150@gmail.com or call me at 509-750-9793 here in the United States. I've also been in touch with the ancient Incan spirits at Machu Picchu, and they have many things to say, and I'll also be giving free psychic readings for those who come along on the trip. I want to thank everyone so much who supported this program, including Jan Rossini of California, Anita Curtis from Dublin, Ireland, Marian Elias Neuschwanger from Costa Rica, the Crystal Void Spiritual Center in Tacoma, and the wonderful Orion Tech Computers of Bend, Oregon. I'd also like to thank my dear friend Carol's, designing my website and providing wonderful support, my friends in the Galactic Alliance, and my angelic and earthly family, and of course KKNW for their support of this program. With that, I believe in the power of prayer, and my dear friend Carol lost her father within the last week or two, and I'd like to ask everyone listening today to please send lots of love and light to her and her family to help them deal with the loss of their beautiful father. I'd also like to ask everyone to send lots of love and light to Carolyn White in Olympia. She's almost completely healed, and I'm so thankful for your beautiful messages of love and light to her. Also, if you could send love and light to Masako Michiko Hayashi's mother in Japan, who had a stroke earlier this year, and to my good friend Orion in Bend, Oregon, who's been diagnosed with throat cancer, as well as my good friend Dr. William Mountain in Tacoma. Many of you, I'm sure, have heard about the court decision in San Francisco where a woman named Katie Steinle was shot and killed by an illegal alien several years ago. A jury just yesterday in San Francisco found him not guilty and let him go, even though he had been deported six times out of the United States. San Francisco is a so-called sanctuary city that gives refuge to illegal aliens who commit crimes, including murder. So I'd like to ask everyone listening to this, to please send lots of love and light to Katie Steinle's family for the loss they've suffered. I also would like to play this 528 Hertz Love Tuning Fork now to send lots of love and light to San Francisco, because I think they really need lots of healing. I'll just hit this here. This is a special tuning fork that's set at 528 hertz, which is the frequency of love. When you hit that on the air, it goes all over the world. It's a beautiful thing, and I like to play this as much as I can. I'm hitting this with a crystal that I got from Mount Shasta. It's full of love and light from Lemuria and the Hollow Earth, so that's extra special. I wanted to tell you I'm so grateful to have Simon Parks on today. Simon, are you still there?
Oh, yes, Ted, I'm still here.
Good. Let's bring you on to make up for the time we lost during that first hour. Anyway, what other things do you see happening in the near future and long term here for all of us here on the planet?
Well, I'm happy to do that, but you just were talking about what we would call in Great Britain Agartha, or the Hollow Earth.
Oh, okay.
And I just to have a little chat on that, because that's Please. Very close to my heart.
Okay.
I have connections with myself with Lumeria, not with Atlantis. Mm-hmm. And you, of course, Ted, are going to have a lot of information on this. But my understanding is that after the, I just call it a disaster, many people from Atlantis and Lumeria, who then turned their back on politics, war. In fact, they basically said that the human, this is the way they felt at the time, as I understand it. They felt the human race couldn't be trusted with certain secrets. They felt they themselves couldn't be trusted with what they had. Mm-hmm. And so, although, you know, some disappeared left, right, and center, many went to the Hollow Earth. Mm-hmm. And it's only in recent years now that a number of them have said that it's no good hiding anymore. They have to come out and help humanity.
Right.
To come out and get in there and get their hands dirty and actually do some good. Mm-hmm. So, great joy that you're going to Peru. Yes, Lake Titicaca. I hope that you do find an entrance, you know, it'll be wonderful, Ted. So I'm sorry I can't come with you. I would love to come with you, but a very special trip, I think. And I just wanted to say that, really.
Well, thank you so much, Simon. You know, when I first the trip to Peru came about very quickly. I went there in October, and the message that I got when I landed there is that this is the first of many trips to Peru. And for me, it's a bit of a homecoming because I used to live in Atlantis, but also lived in Lemuria as well.
Right.
And there is a chamber. There is a spot in Machu Picchu at the top called the Priest Chamber. And I was told where to enter the Hollow Earth at that point. There's another spot at Lake Titicaca at the very southern end of the lake as well, and I was told the location of where the entrance is there as well. Now, there's several things that you just can't walk in there, that you have to be of sufficiently high vibration and get their permission. And if those things are fulfilled, then you'll basically, the rocks, I'm told, will open up into another dimension. You'll simply go down a staircase and enter. That's the same thing happens with Mount Shasta, too. I go to Mount Shasta quite a bit, and but you're right about their messages, is that it's time for them. They felt like it's time for them to come out and start working with us now.
Yes.
One of the things that I was told, I think it was last year, the year before, that after Fukushima, that was a red flag to them, Simon,
yes.
Because they get their atmosphere, their air, in the Hollow Earth from our oxygen up here. And after Fukushima, back in 2011, the radiation, of course, went into the atmosphere, and some of that was sucked down into their civilization, and they weren't very, very happy about that. But I think we can both learn from each other. I actually have an entity with me named Jay Hina. She's with me now all the time. Beautiful Telosian entity. I also have a Pleiadian entity with me, and at least one or more ancient India spirits with me as well. So it's nice to have their love and light with me all the time. The Incas, from what I know from being there in October, was a fourth dimensional civilization. And one of the hallmarks of that fourth dimensional civilization is that when they conquered another tribe, for example, or asked them to come into their Inca empire, they never killed anybody. They gave them a choice. And they would also give them with lots of gifts, and they were very humane about the way they treated them. Of course, wars during this last century, the 20th century, the victors would often slaughter everybody, but that wasn't the Inca way. And if you study Inca history, you realize how benevolent they were. And I think they were part of Agartha. That's what I was told.
I totally agree. And one of the reasons that they didn't really practice the sacrificial cult as, say, the Aztecs did, is because the reptilian god, who had fairly well, recently in terms of their history, had left the Israelites and found, you know, a new home with some South American tribes, but didn't connect with all of them. And there's a very big difference between those tribes that practiced sacrifice, who were controlled by an reptilian deity, and those that did not. So those who have come from Atlantis and Agartha, Atlantis and Lumeria, and then through Agartha, have come full circle. They've understood both sides of the energy from the left and the right, right, positive and negative, right, brought that together. And that's why those people now need to be on the earth, because they cannot be corrupted.
Right.
This is the key. Once you've done it and worn the t-shirt, right, you cannot be corrupted.
Right.
And it's interesting that you've served in both empires. You've gone through both energy fields, mm-hmm, if I can put it like that.
Yeah. Yeah, well, thank you so much for saying that, Simon. It's very interesting you mentioned the Aztecs, because on my flight back from Peru back to the Canada and then the United States, I stopped for a day. They lay over Mexico City, and I took the buses and subways out to the Pyramid of the Sun and Pyramid of the Moon. Mm-hmm. And guess what the main plaza is called between this Pyramid of the Sun and Pyramid of the Moon?
I don't know.
It's called the Avenue of the Dead. And it was a place where the Aztecs sacrificed humans.
Yeah.
And the energy there, it was quiet and peaceful when I was there now. But I did some time traveling meditation, and I went back to that time. And there was a lot of violence, and people were getting killed to appease the gods. And the energy there was very different than Machu Picchu, very different. And I attribute that, of course, to the different civilizations and the different negative and positive influences.
Yes, it's great, because you are sensitive. Mm-hmm. Even though in human terms 1,000 years or more has gone by, you're still able to pick that up, and it's like your tuning fork. Mm-hmm. Everything has a resonance, and although the human ear drops that resonance after a while, it's still there. It's still carrying on. It's just that our ears can't pick that up. But if you're very psychic, then you can still pick up these ripples. And that's what you do. You pick up these ripples. And that's why you're a very special man, Ted.
Oh, well, thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Simon. Well, on my next trip, I'm not sure when I'm going again, but on my next trip to Peru, I hope you can come. I think you'd really enjoy it. One of the things, I'm very sensitive to vibrations, and when I flew into Lima, I could tell the energy was higher in Lima there. And then when I flew to Cusco, which used to be the capital city of the Inca Empire before the Spaniards came, as soon as I got off the plane, the energies went way up. I mean, I could feel it. And then when I got to Machu Picchu, they went up even higher.
Even more, yes.
Yeah, even more. So, but it's a beautiful area. It's a very special area. And if those of you interested in coming, I'll be leaving January 27th through, no, 23rd through February 7th. If you can't come for the whole trip, that's fine. But the prices are very reasonable, and the airlines are having a seat sale now. And anyone interested, just send me an email to outofthisworld1150. And with that, Simon, I want to give you another minute or two to wrap up your wonderful interview today.
Oh, that's very kind of you. So really, it's just to say to people that there has been some most amazing changes over the last 5 years. Mm-hmm. Really have seen great strides, great differences. People have resisted a lot of what we would call in Great Britain as nonsense that's been peddled by the establishment.
Right.
So I think that if I said the worst is over, what I mean by that is that the most obvious trickery is over. There may be one or two big games left to play.
Right.
But if the human race was going to fall, it would already have done so.
The fact
that it hasn't means that actually we're over the worst of it. And I just want to say to your listeners that to keep the faith, to be strong, to support each other, and to believe in the truth, and actually we'll see it through in our lifetimes. And I hope it's an exciting thing to end on.
Well, I have to tell you really quickly, and then I want to go to Tom in Florida, is that there was a book, series of books published by Dolores Cannon, a wonderful American psychic, back in 1986, 87, and 88. And they were called Messages from Nostradamus. And in those books, it detailed World War III starting here in the United States, in Bosnia in 1992, to a full-fledged a nuclear war by 2005, with many, many cities burning here in the United States. That didn't happen because the timelines have changed.
Yes.
And I've talked to Nostradamus about that, and he says that's correct. Things have changed for the better. So, with that, Simon, I want to thank you so much for coming on today. You're a great man doing great work, and your heart's in the right place. You have a heart of gold. And thank you again so much for coming on today. I really appreciate it.
Oh, well, God bless to you and God bless to all your listeners. Thank you, Ted.
Okay. Thank you so much, Simon, for coming on today. Merry Christmas.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Bye. And with that, my friends, I'd like to go talk to Tom Palladino now. He's been waiting patiently and on the line. And Tom, I'm sorry we're starting a little late here, but somebody pressed a fire alarm here in the building, and we had to exit for almost 20 minutes. So anyway, Tom, how are you doing today? We'll get you on the phone here. Tom, can you hear us okay?
I can. Hello, Ted.
Great. Great. Let me ask Eric, is the volume okay, Eric? Okay. Great. Great. It's so good to have you here, Tom. I just want to briefly mention before we start that I forgot to mention during my first hour because of our fire alarm, but I also have a spiritual mentoring program, and I provide readings for people. And if you are in the Tacoma area tomorrow, I'll be giving readings all day on Saturday and Sunday, December 2nd and 3rd at the Crystal Voyage bookstore, right next to the Tacoma Mall, if you're around the area. But Tom, you're a fascinating fellow. You do what's called scalar energy healing. And what is scalar, if people ask me what scalar means?
It's very simple. Scalar energy is synonymous with terms such as zero-point energy, chi, prana, life force, consciousness. There's two energies in the universe. Electromagnetic energy. Everybody realizes that there is electricity and magnetism.
Mm-hmm.
And the second dimension is scalar energy. So I prefer to work with scalar energy as opposed to the electromagnetic dimension.
Wow, wonderful. Tom, if you could speak up a little bit, your volume's a little low, that would be great.
Okay, I'll do that.
That's better. Yeah, that's better. That's better. Well, I know it's interesting, the work you do, because like you'll take a picture of someone. And by the way, I sent you my photograph yesterday. I hope you got it okay. And then you'll do a healing, or you'll determine how they can be helped. Is that right, Tom? How does that work?
That's correct. That's correct. I work remotely with people. I work by way of their photograph.
Mm-hmm.
A scalar energy dimension allows you to treat people at a distance. All you need is a photograph of their skin, some part of their anatomy.
Wow.
Is all that is needed in a photograph to treat somebody effectively.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful. Now, do you put this? Do you do like a reading with the picture? Or do you put it on a machine and it determines what's going on? How does that work exactly?
Sure, I'll explain in detail.
Okay.
Working with scalar energy, it really is the mind of God or the consciousness of the universe. So I try not to override the mind of God.
Mm-hmm.
So in practice, I've developed scalar energy instruments that break apart, that destroy pathogens. And in so doing, I simply take a person's photograph and place it in my scalar energy instrument. Again, all I need is a photograph of their skin, some part of their anatomy. That's all I need.
Okay.
And then in turn, I take photographs, magnified photographs of germs, pathogens.
Tom, I'm sorry to interrupt, my friend. Could you just please speak up? The volume is still a little low.
Okay.
I'm so sorry.
Sure. Then in turn, I take magnified photographs of pathogens, and I place those, I scan those likewise in my instrument. And in so doing, when these two photographs interface, that is a photograph of a person and a photograph of a pathogen, that interface allows me to disassemble that germ inside a person. So, for instance, if somebody had the herpes virus, I would simply take a photograph of the herpes virus and I would place it next to the person's photograph. Everything in a scalar energy environment will merge, will interface immediately. And in so doing, the informational input from the herpes virus by way of a photograph will cause the chemical bonds of the herpes virus to break apart inside a person's body. It's quite fascinating. This is known as quantum entanglement, in which everything in a scalar energy dimension is interconnected.
Wow, that's fascinating. What about cancer, for example? Would that work for something like cancer as well?
I think eventually we will develop scalar energy instruments that will be able to cure cancer. I presently cannot do that. Mm-hmm. My present status is I can easily break apart, destroy any type of pathogen, virus, bacterium, fungus.
Mm-hmm.
And it works quite handily with my current system. I do think in the future, once we understand scalar energy to a greater extent, we will be able to correct a mutation and in so doing cure cancer.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful, beautiful. And you've written here, I on your website, you said that your current pathogen cleanse currently disassembles over 400,000 pathogens for humans.
That's correct.
That's amazing. Do you have a list?
It is.
Wow.
Let me explain why I can make such a statement.
Okay.
Over the years, I've been at this for 30 years. Mm-hmm. Over the years, I've amassed a collection of over 400,000 photographs of germs. Mm-hmm. You see, when I want to destroy a pathogen or germ, all I need is a photograph of that germ. So there's no human input. There's no room for human error or human interpretation.
Mm-hmm.
So I take photographs of germs in order to destroy those very germs inside the human body.
Mm-hmm.
So imagine this. Over the past 25, 30 years, I've amassed a collection, a library, of 400,000 species of germs, different
wow.
magnified microphotographs of germs.
Mm-hmm.
And in so doing, I can take those photographs, scan them inside my instrument, and subsequently destroy those germs inside the human body.
Wow. Amazing. Amazing. I hope you don't mind me asking this, but did you find anything from my picture? And I just thought I'd ask. So
yeah, no, not a problem. That's a good question. Per se, Ted, I don't diagnose.
Okay.
On any given day, if you will, I'm treating at least 200,000 people a day, Nate.
My goodness.
A day.
Wow.
By way of their photograph.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. The healing ministry is growing. It's spreading like wildfire. Anyway,
mm-hmm.
per se, I don't diagnose. And if I could diagnose, I certainly could not diagnose 200,000 people a day.
Sure.
So with that said, the instruments are calibrated to perform a function. And the function that I have designed is to break down the molecular bonds of germs, of viruses, protozoan, once again,
mm-hmm.
fungi, bacteria.
Mm-hmm.
And it works. It's
mm-hmm.
a guaranteed process because energy does what you tell it to do. That's the beauty of energy.
Mm-hmm.
It's our servant. And this instrument serves our needs. In so doing, we have discovered the cure for pathogenic disease.
Wow. Wonderful. That's very yeah. fantastic.
I think so.
Wow.
I think so. Now, for your listening audience, Ted, and I promised you I would do this, I am offering 15 days of free scalar energy treatments for everybody. Regardless of who you are, I will offer 15 days of treatment to anybody in the world. So I'm going to ask you to get a piece of paper and pen and write down a website. Now, let me review before I get into that. Once again, scalar energy is not electricity.
Mm-hmm.
With scalar energy, we can treat anybody in the world by way of their photograph. All
mm-hmm.
we need is a photograph in order to treat you effectively.
Mm-hmm.
And with that, I will give you a website in which you will upload your photograph to the website. And in so doing, all I need is a photograph of your face or your hand or your foot. It doesn't necessarily have to be your face. If you want to remain private, you simply can send me a photograph of your hand.
Mm-hmm.
And once you email your photograph to me, I begin to treat you that day. And over the next
wow.
15 days, I will treat you for three modalities, for three scalar energy modality. Number one, we can destroy, disassemble, potentially now, over 400,000 species of germs.
Wow, that's amazing.
Number two, we can balance your chakras and reprogram your brain waves with a scalar energy instrument. Mm-hmm. Some people report that their mood is elevated with a chakra balancing.
Mm-hmm.
Some people go as far as to say that they dream very vivid and meaningful dreams. And then the third modality with scalar energy, I've developed a process with scalar energy in which I can assemble inside the human body micronutrients,
wow,
amino acids, fatty acids, phytochemicals. We can assemble nutrients inside the human body by way of scalar energy. Those three modalities are available to everybody. The website for you to sign up for 15 days of free treatment is creativestrength.us. I'll spell it just as it sounds, Creative Strength, C-R-E-A-T-I-V-E, Strength, S-T-R-E-N-G-T-H, creativestrength.us. Simply send in your photograph. I'll treat you, no obligation. You will feel better. After 15 days, we will have eradicated the viruses, the fungi, the parasites in your body. We will have balanced your chakras, your seven chakras. We will have balanced and reprogrammed your brain waves. And during those 15 days, we also, once again, deliver micronutrients to the human body. I promise you, you're going to feel better. And then you will see the merit of this. You will see that someday, and hopefully soon, that scalar energy will be embraced as universal health care.
Wow. That's beautiful. That's beautiful. Well, I hope you can come to my Galactic Wisdom Conference next March, Tom, because not only you'll be there, but there'll be some wonderful people there as well. The Hado people from Tokyo will be demonstrating what they do in vibration to help help people feel better. Then I've got a doctor from the Bahamas, Dr. Ka Roka, who's a wonderful naturopathic physician who uses feng shui, acupuncture. He used to have an acupuncture school in Brazil. He's also very skilled, Tom, in using a Buddhist hand movements to help healing. Mm. And then I'll be having Billy Fay Woodard of the Hollow Earth and Zora there, who also do a lot of healing. And then I've got Robbie Holtz, an Australian Aboriginal healer, will be there as well. So almost everybody there will be doing healing. And you'll have a fun time sharing your information. I'm sure they'll be fascinated with your work, too.
Oh, okay. I'm going to put it on my calendar, Ted. I'm going to do my darndest. Thank you.
Okay. All right. Great. Great, great. Well, I have to ask you, Tom, how did you ever get into this field?
I want to say simply God called me. This is a healing ministry, and when you're called to be a healer, you receive that message, you receive that calling from God.
Mm-hmm.
I would say it started when I was very young. I started to read about Nikola Tesla, and I had I want to say a casual understanding of scalar energy, even as a youngster.
Mm-hmm.
And I realized what Nikola Tesla was doing was phenomenal, and that he was really the pioneer, the first person to have ever harnessed a scalar energy.
Wow.
And I said to myself, in some way, I want to model myself after Tesla. I want to follow in his footsteps.
Mm-hmm.
And I've done that throughout my life. I tried to imitate him. He's hard to imitate. Obviously,
yeah.
He's such a super genius. I'm not comparing myself to him, but
oh, yeah.
He was the forerunner, and all of us today, we're standing upon his shoulders. He was a really unparalleled genius. No, there's nobody like Tesla.
Wow, oh, absolutely. He's one of the spirits I've actually been in touch when I wrote my book, Messages from the Masters. But an amazing man, absolutely amazing man.
Yeah.
And he's told me, too, that free energy that he was able to harness will reveal itself within the next 3 to 5 years.
And that'll, yes, it will.
Yeah, and that'll be the signal of the end of the dinosaurs of the petroleum industry.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. You're
mm-hmm.
absolutely right.
Mm-hmm.
Scalar energy represents free energy.
Mm-hmm.
Why do I say that? Well, it's from the stars. Hmm. It's starlight. It's sunlight. And obviously, you never see the stars or the sun run out of energy.
Right.
So once we understand scalar energy, we will be able to harness this infinite supply of energy. And I can't wait. It's, you're right. It's the end of the of the gas and oil cartel. You're absolutely right.
Right. Right. Those days are numbered. And he says that his discoveries, he meant to disseminate them to all of humanity on this planet, but they were taken away, sequestered in a secret program, and that's why nobody knows about it except the secret space program knows about Tesla's work. But for the rest of us here,
right.
we don't. Yeah,
we don't. And, obviously, to the detriment of mankind.
Sure.
Tesla was a gift from God.
Oh, yeah.
And we should have been following his theories and mm-hmm. and what he put into practice and his inventions mm-hmm. to a great degree. But his work was suppressed. We know that the cabal was behind that suppression.
Right.
And that set us back 100 years. You know,
right.
Tesla was with us 100 years ago, and mm-hmm. you don't hear about his inventions, as you should.
Right.
Well, we see a renaissance now, and that day is coming.
Mm-hmm.
That scalar energy will be first recognized by mankind,
mm-hmm.
and then once we recognize this wonderment of scalar energy, we will apply it,
mm-hmm.
and it will make obsolete so many technologies today. It will catapult mankind forward. I want to be part of that movement. I think I am. And so many people realize the benefits to be derived from scalar energy. It will have a greater impact upon mankind than that of the computer.
Mm.
I'm convinced of that.
Beautiful. Beautiful. Well, there was a gentleman, I don't know if you hear this story, but I'd love to share it with you, Tom, back in the 1950s. In 1957, there was a gentleman named Valiant Thor who visited President Eisenhower, and he was from the Galactic Alliance, and he offered health advancements and free energy to President Eisenhower. And on the health front, Richard Nixon, the vice president, Dwight D. Eisenhower's vice president, was against it because he was afraid all of his doctor friends would lose their jobs because people would get healthy and they wouldn't need him anymore. And he also had friends in the pharmaceutical industries, Big Pharma, and he was afraid that they would lose, the companies would go bankrupt. And so, and I think Nixon even had some stock in the pharmaceutical companies, too. So he didn't want to hurt that at all. So Eisenhower ended up turning it down from pressure from Richard Nixon, and as well as the Joint Chiefs of Staff. The Joint Chiefs of Staff back at that time in 1957 loved weapons, and they wanted to get lots of bombs. And Valiant Thor wasn't offering any bombs, so they said, well, what good is he? So they turned it down. It's too bad. Anyway, so there have been times in our history, but I think that time is coming now when people like yourself who has scalar energy and other healing techniques will come into full, people will really find out about you and be able to use your techniques.
Yeah. Thank you. Because of people like you, Ted, helping me promulgate this.
Oh.
Obviously, this is a group effort.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, we're trying to help mankind, and the greater number of people that can join us with mm-hmm. this grassroots movement, with this scalar energy movement, mm-hmm. we're going to improve the world. That's the whole point. So I don't want anybody to be intimidated by this. For the most part, I'm an open book. I'm trying to get this technology out there to mankind.
Mm-hmm.
Once again, I thank you for this platform. Thank you for this interview.
Oh, my pleasure. Tom, I'm so happy you came on today. Have you yourself been, negative energy been directed at you for your work, by the way? Have had any problems that way?
No, I'm protected by Jesus Christ and the Blessed Virgin Mary. They always protect me.
Good.
I realize there is an evil force out there, and I mm-hmm. realize some people cannot be trusted, but God and His Holy Mother keep them away from me.
So uh-huh.
I thank them for the protection.
Oh, that's good. That's good. Tom, if you don't mind, I don't want to put you on the spot. Don't mean to, but I'd love to hear some success stories of people you've helped.
Sure. What comes to mind immediately, we're treating many people in Africa pro bono, free. Obviously, they don't have the means to health care.
Uh-huh.
The health care system throughout Africa is poor, it's dismal. So on any given day, I could easily receive 5,000, 10,000 photographs from Africa. And again, we're treating those people as a humanitarian concern free of charge.
Wow.
And we're having great success. People are being cured of malaria. Why? Because we can break apart, we can destroy the protozoan that caused malaria.
Mm-hmm.
People who have tuberculosis, they've been cured. We can eradicate Mycobacterium tuberculosis, the bacterium that causes TB. Mm. We've had a number of people that have come to us with HIV infection. As you know, in sub-Saharan Africa, at least approximately 60% of the people in the world who are HIV positive live in sub-Saharan Africa.
Wow.
So that's one of our vibrant ministries in treating the people of Africa. We're curing people of HIV. We're able to destroy the HIV virus.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And we have diagnostic tests now that are coming from Africa, proving that after we treat people with scalar energy, there's no viral load, that the HIV virus cannot be detected.
Wow.
And people are returning to health. They gain weight. They no longer have the symptoms of HIV infection or AIDS, advanced HIV infection.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll go on record. We have been able to cure a number of people in Africa by way of these scalar energy instruments. We can break apart and destroy the HIV virus.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Now, this will simply gain traction in the years to come,
mm-hmm.
and a greater number of people will hear about this, and the movement is on. Ted. This is unstoppable. We will start spreading like wildfire, and the people around the world are now ready for this new technology. The day has come.
Wow. Wow, that's amazing. I wanted to ask you about Crohn's disease, and have you had success with that, by the way?
Success with what? I'm sorry.
Oh, it's called Crohn's disease. It's caused by genetically modified foods, like genetically modified corn.
You're absolutely right. I've had so many people come to me with Crohn's disease or different types of ulcerative colitis, etc.
Mm-hmm.
And you're absolutely right. The reason we have this spike in Crohn's disease and autoimmune disease is because in many cases it is occasioned by genetically modified food.
Right.
Well, I don't have the immediate cure for Crohn's disease, but what I have taken is a step in the right direction.
Mm-hmm.
My scalar energy instrument is able to break down the transgenic genes found in corn, found in soy.
Wow.
Now, these man-made genes, these genetically engineered genes that we are eating through GMO food is terrible.
Right.
And the evidence is rather overwhelming now.
Right.
That many, many genetically modified crops are indeed producing illness across
right.
the board.
Right.
We're eating poison, essentially.
Right. Right.
We're eating foreign genes, man-made genes, these transgenic genes that do indeed occasion various medical conditions or can be considered directly responsible for many medical conditions.
Well, I have to...
Crohn's disease is one of them. You're absolutely right. There are many digestive disorders that can be attributed directly to GMO food.
And the incidence of Crohn's disease was like 1 in 10,000 in 1996 when then-President Bill Clinton... through an executive order, legalized GMO corn through Monsanto. And now it's like 1 in 400. That was the last one that I saw a couple of years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really insidious.
Right.
If you go into a restaurant here in Seattle, Tom, you pick up a mm-hmm. bottle of ketchup, Heinz ketchup, and it says high fructose corn syrup right on the back. I don't even touch that stuff because the high fructose corn syrup has the genetically modified genes in the corn syrup itself. And so when you ingest that corn syrup into your body, those genes can end up in your intestines and produce Roundup and herbicides and cause you all kinds of health problems. And soybeans, unless they're marked as non-GMO, they also have the same problem where you eat the soybeans if they've been genetically modified, then they end up in your intestines. And it's one of the reasons why people in Europe demanded that Coke take high fructose corn syrup out of Coke. And so if you fly, for example, France or Germany or Sweden, and you buy a Coke, you'll look in the back and you'll see it's pure cane sugar. It's not the high fructose corn syrup because they don't use it there. It's illegal to use it there. And but here in the United States, that stuff's everywhere. And no wonder people have so many health problems from it. And then I don't know if you've seen the commercials on television here or not, but often Big Pharma stepped right in, and they have their own specialized pharmaceutical products for that. That I don't know how effective they are, but they do sell them. But if you took Scalar Energy and you stopped eating those GMO foods, you'd be a lot better off.
I would agree, and I'm going to caution people once again not to eat GMO foods. I agree with you wholeheartedly, mm-hmm. and it's very simple. There is an organic section in just about every supermarket, mm-hmm. and here's the key. When you want to buy organic food, look for a number 9. When you buy organic produce, it is marked as either a 4-digit or a 5-digit number. And if you see that the number 9 denotes an agricultural product, that represents non-GMO produce. So anytime I go to the supermarket, it's very simple. I look for the produce in which the number 9, that number, is an indication that it is non-GMO or organic.
Wow.
And I simply say, buy the 9. You know, you could do a research on this. Just Google that.
Okay.
There is a numbering system for produce. Buy the produce that begins with the number 9. I mm-hmm. call it buy the 9.
Oh, how wonderful. How wonderful. Thank you. That's great. That's great. So if a product it's somewhere in the product code that is the beginning, it doesn't matter where it is, whether it's the beginning, middle, or end.
It has to begin with the number 9.
Oh, beginning with the number 9.
The number 9.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
And again, I would simply say just do your homework.
Okay.
When you're shopping, you obviously there are health food stores, but a lot of those health food stores are still selling GMO products.
Wow. Wow.
So you have to do something about that.
Sure.
And what you do
sure.
about that is you look for the produce that begins with the number 9.
Okay.
And that will ensure you're okay. not buying a GMO crop.
Okay. Now, I have a lot of wonderful friends in Canada. I have a lot of listeners in Latin America, Costa Rica, the Dominican Republic, into South America, and across the world. If you're in other countries, is that same true? Let's say you're in France. Or in Germany?
I don't know.
I don't know. Okay.
You're going to have to look into that with each, you know. Anytime okay. I'm in Florida, I live in the state of Florida.
Sure.
And in the United States, that's the code that I go by. And I am assured that if I buy produce, and again, it has to begin with the number 9, it's going to be organic. A lot of times that's a 4-digit or 5-digit number.
Right.
Genetically engineered food begins with the number 8. Okay,
oh,
so we want to concentrate on 9. Organically grown, that's not genetically modified, begins with the number 9. So I simplify it by saying by the 9.
Interesting. Okay. Okay. Interesting. Wow, I learned something. Thank you, Tom. Thank you so much.
Of course.
Now, let me ask you this, too. A lot of people eat chickens here in the United States. I'm pretty much a vegetarian. I don't eat chicken or beef. But with chickens and beef that eat, for example, genetically modified corn, that's the same problem, isn't it? Where they eat this food and then it goes into their meats and then you're eating the meat. And if the meat's got a product of genetically modified corn, then you're getting that risk again from Crohn's disease.
That's right. That's
okay.
right.
Okay.
Here's a factoid for you. Most of the antibiotics used in the United States of America mm-hmm. are used on farm animals.
Oh.
If you looked at the percentage of antibiotics used in the United States, it's used on farm animals. Why? Because so many farm animals now have a resistance to various types of germs. Why? Mm. Because genetically modified crops produce that resistance.
Oh.
So many of our farm animals, so much of our livestock
right.
is now under attack. Obviously, much of the livestock and farm animals in this country, they're eating genetically modified crops, and in so doing, many of those crops compromise their immune system to the point that they can no longer fight off infection.
Mm.
So it's a very sad state of affairs.
Sure. Sure.
And with that said, what we really have to do is obviously buy organic produce.
Right.
And then try and buy if you're going to buy poultry or you're going to buy meat, you have to make sure it's hormone-free.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people say free-range or grass-fed, and you really have to investigate. You have to investigate where the source is. Sure. Where are you buying your chicken from? Is it mm-hmm. really going to be organic, or are they just slapping a label on their packaging?
Right.
Sadly, in the United States of America, as you well know,
right.
Producers are not forced to label their product.
Right.
So many times we're eating GMO produce, we have no idea.
Right.
Because they're not required to list those ingredients. Now, as you mentioned, there's countries in Europe that have outlawed, that have banned GMO crops.
Well, right.
That there's a stark distinction. Huh? In the United States of America, not only is it accepted, but the lobbyists, the powerful political persuasion will dissuade anybody who's trying to find out whether a product is GMO or not, to the point right. that these food producers do not even have to list those ingredients. Well, that's quite interesting, and I think that's wrong.
Well, I have to tell you this story, two quick stories. Arrowhead water, which is manufactured by Nestle, that contains fluoride, even though it's not listed on the bottle. So if you don't want fluoride in your water, I wouldn't drink Arrowhead water. That's what I've heard.
Yeah.
The second thing
right.
is that here in Washington State, we tried to get a state law passed here back in November of 2013, which would have required labeling of all GMO foods. But that was fought back by Monsanto, and it just lost by just a couple of percentage points, which was so sad. People worked so hard on it. And people aren't aware of this either, but in Russia, President Putin has banned GMO foods so that all the foods from Russia are non-GMO. But if you go to our supermarkets here in the United States, in Seattle, you can't find any. It's very difficult to find any Russian produce. I don't think they bring any in.
You're right. And as we mentioned previously, even Europe is way ahead of the curve. There are some European countries that simply outlaw any type of GMO crop.
Right.
Well, you know, why? Well, obviously because the lobby over there, the government lobby, is not as entrenched as it is here in the United States of America.
True.
So, you know, abroad, I don't think even the media is so duped or paid off. But
right.
in this country, let's face it, the media is essentially the servant of lobbyists and
right.
vice versa.
Mm-hmm.
So it really is, it's dirty politics in the United States of America.
Yeah.
It's a shame because people's health is compromised by this posture of dirty politics. But mm-hmm. in the long run, the people are being educated, and we will take a stance against GMO foods. I do. I never buy. Very assiduous when I'm buying my food.
Sure.
I buy the 9.
Right.
I go to the produce store, and you're looking for that product lookup code, and buy produce that begins with the number 9. That
wow.
is an organic rating.
Thank you. Thank you so much for sharing that, Tom. I really appreciate it. I think it's our destiny to live a lot longer. It's a shame. What we're now dealing with the the GMO foods is that it's the legacy of Richard Nixon, of Bill Clinton, but their legacies are part of the old school, and I think we need to look beyond that because people, once they're educated, are turning away from GMO foods. I know that up in Vancouver, beautiful Vancouver, Canada, there are supermarket chains up there which are solely organic, and they have these huge banners on the street in downtown Vancouver, Tom, and you'll see
yeah.
it says something like non-GMO supermarket, and it's really pretty cool because everything you buy in there is non-GMO.
That's beautiful, and mm-hmm. and we're seeing that tenor, that thinking is now sweeping the nation.
Mm-hmm.
There are many producers of food that realize that this is a new day, that this is a new game, and in so doing, we see a greater variety out there, finally. And let's hope that this just continues. I do see this gaining steam. You know, 10 years ago, it was disheartening. Now, people are educated, and God bless them.
Right.
And I think people are going to demand non-GMO food. And as an example of that, as what you've mentioned in Vancouver, that day is coming. Mm-hmm. I live in Florida, so I'm kind of spoiled. There are organic farms here in Florida.
Mm-hmm.
We can grow crops year-round.
Wow.
And it's frankly, it's easy for me to buy organic in the state of Florida because it's so warm.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Beautiful. How times have changed. I know my parents grew up in a time when all the food was organic, Tom, because there was no such thing as genetically modified foods, and there was no such, they didn't use pesticides. But now you have to look for organic foods.
Yeah. You're absolutely right. And
you
really have to ask yourself, well, what changed the world?
Right.
Why did this happen? And it was a concerted effort by so many companies, and it really boils down to money. It really boils down to greed.
Sure.
If you can control the food supply by way of a genetically modified crop,
right.
Well, it means money to some people. So
right.
it really, at the very heart of it, is it's money and control of the people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, taken to an extreme, if the entire world was one genetically modified planet, we would eventually have a food famine because obviously mm-hmm. the seed cannot beget itself from generation to generation.
Right.
You're terminating the seed line. And when you terminate a seed line, that's a food shortage. So
right.
ultimately, you know, this could lead to a food shortage.
In India years ago, Monsanto marketed its genetically modified cotton for the Indian crops. And you had to use all these expensive fertilizers, and a lot of Indian farmers could not afford it. And their crops
right.
failed, and there was an epidemic of many, many farmers in India committing suicide. I think Monsanto has been labeled, I don't know, there's been some legal actions taken against them in India. But you're right, because for generations, the Indian farmers would carefully shepherd seeds from one crop to another, from generation to generation.
Yeah.
So they had these heirloom cotton seeds for the best cotton. But that was all Monsanto told them to throw it all out. So they did. And for many farmers who went with the genetically modified cotton, they ended up not only losing their farms and losing their crops, but also, too, they committed suicide and lost their lives while this company was making a lot of money.
Yeah. It's quite a shame, and that's true and accurate. I've heard that. Again, what's the basis of this? What is the driving force here? It's money. It's power.
Sure.
You know, we've taken something that's natural, heirloom seeds, as you have mentioned, and we've
right.
outlawed that.
Right.
And farmers are forced to join this monopoly, whether it's Monsanto or DuPont or Bayer.
Right.
Well, you really have to look at what's the mechanism behind all of this.
Right.
Well, frankly, the Illuminati controls or owns some of these seed companies.
Sure, right.
They have a vested interest mm-hmm. in these pharmaceutical companies. So
right.
it's a shame. If you're a healer, your main objective should be to heal.
Right.
That's my objective. Obviously, I'm not part of the cabal. And
right.
for that reason, I'm on the fringe. You know, I'm not within the mainstream.
Yeah.
I never will be.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad you're not on the mainstream, because my show is called Out of This World, and we deal with a lot of subjects out there that mainstream media does not cover. Tom, we've got about a minute left, and I just want to say briefly, thank you so much for coming on today. There's one announcement I'd like to make quickly for those of you interested. I may be having there may be a paranormal weekend at the Tokelin, beautiful Tokelin Inn, right on the Pacific Ocean on August 31st. For those of you interested in contacting spirits on the other side and ghosts, I tentatively plan to be there. I can give you more information next week, but I'll be giving readings, and it'll be really a fun place. Tokelin Inn is a beautiful old hotel right on the Pacific Ocean, about 2.5 hours from Seattle. Well, anyway, Tom, I want to thank you so much for coming on today. We've got about 45 seconds, and I want to give you the time to wrap up your wonderful interview.
Ted, first of all, thank you again for the opportunity. Ladies and gentlemen, please visit the website creativestrength.us. There's no obligation. CreativeStrength.us. Upload your photograph. Share that website with your friends and family. You will receive free treatment, no questions asked, for the next 15 days. You will feel better.
Okay.
This is my attempt to introduce Scalar Wonderful. Energy to the world.
Wonderful.
Let's heal the world.
Tom, thank you so much, my friend. And we're ending today with El Contra Pasa from Peru. I'll be going there next month in January. I hope you can come along. Have a beautiful weekend, my friends, and Merry Christmas.